Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, that's the one.
Man resides in the brightly lit realm he assumes to be reality. But there is, unperceived by most, a netherworld. A place just as real, but not so clearly lit. An eerie side.
Ooh, eerie. As in eerie house. As in eerie house oldie tiny radio, which it is time for now. And it shows about, well, it's like wish in one hand, Dale K in the other. Is that how the saying goes? I don't know. I am Dale K from Spook Show here along with...
I am Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And we're just by ourselves at the moment anyway.
And yeah, we're wishing our partners were here. Gar's still under the weather.
Yep.
Still fighting back. But he
is with us in spirit,
and we've got some of his morals written by Gar.
We do. Which almost, well, it still makes him, he's always a part of the show whether he's here or not, but it makes it even more a part of the show, at least when we have his morals to go by. And what a compass that is, Gar's morals.
Indeedy, do da day. What the hell? It's time for some oldie timey radio, and we've got some good stuff.
We do. Something we've, you know, we've been doing this how many years? We've almost every anthology horror story type or horror mystery type story does the Monkey's Paw. It's the first time we've done it, and we went to Canada to get it. A really good rendition of it.
Dave's strapping on some snowshoes and heading up to the Great White North to get this one.
It's 80 degrees! It's 80
another adaptation of the Edgar Allan Poe classic.
Yeah.
So that
I don't have any snowshoes, so I actually, you know, I don't have any snowshoes, Dale, so I actually have to strap on a couple of, well, I have one badminton racket and one tennis racket, and, you know, so I kind of walk a little lopsided, but it's okay.
Yeah, well, that explains the limp. All right.
It does.
That's from CDC Mystery Theater. That's one of our shows tonight. Also, Crisis. And then it's Nan. Nan has returned. Good old Nan from The Witch's Tale.
Absolutely, yep. I knew you'd want to hear from Nan. We don't hear from her all the time, but we do hear from her upon occasion, and she's back again tonight.
She is, and it's all about fantasy and wishes. yeah, hey, you're in for a good one tonight.
Yep. Yeah, all kinds of fun. You know what? I want to throw this out, Dale, and think about it when we get to, if we have time at the end of the show. I want to think about if you had two wishes, what would they be? So, yeah,
well,
plenty of show to think about this. And you know what, people? Are you there in the live chat, good old Bob Foxbane? I want to know, when we are doing ours, I want to know what your two wishes would be. So,
yeah.
We're going to go.
I think we should set a limit on this, Dave, though. You cannot wish for more wishes. Let's just put that
No. Right. Yeah, yeah. Can't wish for wish. Right. Exactly.
It never worked.
Yep.
It never worked on Twilight Zone.
No.
Yeah.
So
wishes in general can backfire. And you have to be careful what you wish for, they say. You might get it.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there are consequences from your wishing. And so you have to be careful of that.
Yes.
And I hadn't really thought of it fully what I would wish for, you know.
I think it
I have one
over time.
Well, it does. Yeah, I mean, when I was 22, my whole wishes would have been a whole lot different. Exactly.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would have moved on from the Hee Haw Girls to
to the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Yes, yes, yes.
To today, it would be the body I had when I was wishing I could have the hee-haw girl. And do something about it. And do something about it.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe it isn't something about us being able to go back and redo. That can't be the wish either. So... it's something that has to be today.
I'm going to have to think that over because there's just so many ways to go with that.
That's why I'm giving us the whole show to think about it.
Yeah. Well, good.
And to give us time to get to that whole show, maybe we should start with one of those shows, Dale. Where would you like to start today?
Are you saying we got a whole lot of radio?
I'm saying they got a whole lot of radio and a little bit of talk time in there, yeah.
Well, since you got us pumped up, why not start our trip off in the great Yukon or Saskatchewan or wherever?
The great white north, eh?
Yeah, hey. We're wearing our toques, eh?
Yeah, if you try to look it up on the internet for the CBC Mystery Theater, they keep throwing the CBS Radio Mystery Theater at you. But, kind of ran from 1966 to 1968 on the CBC. Chills, thrills, mystery, and adventure make up stories from this classic series from the CBC. Episodes were also aired as Theater 1030, which I didn't realize that because I have heard of some of those, and Playhouse and others. And so that's kind of a little bit of background on the CBC Mystery Theater.
Tonight's show, The Monkey's Paw, was originally broadcast way, way back, not that far. I was alive for it, June 17th, 1974.
Mystery Theater.
So,
waiting for a spot from the ghost.
CBC presents Mystery Theater, a series of strange tales of the supernatural and the unforeseen, of chills and thrills and adventures selected from the classics. Here then, the story of The Monkey's Paw by W.W. Jacobs, in radio version by John Bethune.
Herbert?
Yes, Mother?
You better wear your muffler when you go off to work.
I will.
Never forget your galoshes. It's been raining cats and dogs since supper time and the roads will
Jenny, please.
What's the matter?
We're trying to play chess. How can we concentrate if you keep chattering?
I'm sorry.
All right, then. Now, where were we?
It's still your move, Dad.
I know that, but what was I going to... Oh, yes.
There, got you this time, me boy.
Yes, you're a deep one, all right.
Don't tell me your father's finally beaten you, Herbert.
No, not yet. He's overlooked his king.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, let me have that back.
Not on your life.
Why not?
All rules of the game, Dad.
I don't know with your scientific rules. You turn what ought to be an innocent relaxation into some sort of...
Oh, don't talk so much, John. How can Herbert concentrate if you keep chattering?
It's all right, Mother.
Oh, listen to that wind, would you?
I'm listening.
I should hardly think Sergeant Major Morris would come tonight.
Oh, he'll turn up.
Can't say I blame him if he don't. That road out there's like a bog. Check. That's the worst of living way out here. Your friends can't even come to call.
Mate.
Lovers Lane, Fulham. Of all the miserable out-of-the-way places to live, this one takes the bun.
Now, John.
It's a disgrace, I tell you. What's the county council thinking of? That's what I want to know. Just because this is the only house in the road that's occupied, I suppose it don't matter if nobody can get near it.
Now, never mind, dear. Perhaps you'll win tomorrow.
Hey? What do you mean?
You know what I mean, so don't pretend.
Can't fool you, eh, Mother? Always know what I'm up to, don't you?
Well, after 30 years, I ought to.
All right, then, what am I thinking right now?
That you'd like a glass of grog.
Right, again.
Oh, shouldn't we wait till the Sergeant Major Morris comes?
Ah, he won't come. Even an ardent old soldier like him would think twice before slogging his way out to a God-forsaken spot like this.
Oh, all right.
Come on now, Dad. It's not such a bad place. Leastways, it's not one of them stucco villas. In fact, it's one of the few old-fashioned houses left near London. Home-like, I call it.
Oh.
And so do you, or you wouldn't have bought it.
And a nice job I made of that, too. £200 still owing on
it. Oh, don't worry. I'll work that off in no time. Matter of 3 years, I'd say, with the rise they promised me.
But don't get married.
Oh, not me, Mother. Not that sort.
Oh, I wish you would, Herbert. A good lad like you with a steady job at the electrical works.
Lots of time, Mother. Sufficient for the day, as the saying goes. Just now my dynamos at the plant don't leave me much time for lovemaking.
Dynamos. I know, sometimes I lay awake at nights and I think, if Herbert took a nap on the job and let them dynamos of his run down, all Fulham would be in darkness. Oh. What a joke that would be.
Joke? Some joke. I'd get sacked on the spot.
I don't know. Well, yeah, it must be Morris after all. I never thought he'd make it.
I wonder what yarn the old boy's got for us tonight.
Don't slam the door, John.
Come in, old friend. Can't hold this door much longer.
Right.
Ooh. Here, let me take your coat. Oh, that wind's enough to blow the
air
off your head.
Why, it's bad, all right. A mile up the road by the cemetery, it's even worse.
Here's Sergeant Major Morris, Jenny.
Good evening.
How are you, ma'am?
Oh, I'm well enough, thank you. But you must be frozen. Come, sit here by the fire.
Ah, thank you kindly, ma'am.
Good evening, sir.
Well, laddie, how's yourself? Not on duty, I see. Day week, eh?
No, sir, night week, but there's half an hour yet.
Oh, hand me the kettle, will you, Herbert?
All right.
This is more like it.
We were afraid you wouldn't come in all this rain.
Oh, you don't know me, ma'am. This is nothing to what I've seen in India.
Really, sir?
Aye, in the trenches at Chitral. What a time we had of it there. Sitting in a puddle with the natives taking pot shots at us and the rain pouring down in buckets.
Didn't you have umbrellas?
Umbrellas. That's a good one. Did you hear that, wife? Umbrellas, she says. Umbrellas and galoshes are not water bottles, eh? It's plain to see you was never in the army, ma'am.
Mother spoke out of kindness,
well,
sir.
Well, I know it, laddie. No offence intended, ma'am. But hardship is the soldier's lot. Aye. Starvation, fever, and get yourself shot. That's the way of it. And all I've got to show now is one arm and a blooming medal.
Cheer up, Morris. Here, try some of this.
Whoa. What have we got here?
Put your nose in it, you'll see.
Ah, hot whiskey.
With sugar and a slice of lemon.
Well, now, I don't mind if I do. Here's to another 1,000 a year.
Same to you and many of them.
Oh, that's the stuff they give the troops. Here, laddie. Ain't you going to join us?
No, thanks. My work don't go with whiskey.
Not even a drop?
No, sir. I've got to keep a cool head and a steady eye and a still hand. If I don't, the flywheel might gobble me up.
Herbert, don't say such things.
Ah, you electricians. Sort of magicians, you are. Light, says you, and light it is. Power, says you, and the trams go whizzing. Knowledge, says you, and the words go humming to the ends of the world. It fair beats me, it does. And I've seen a bit in my time, too.
Indian magic, do you mean?
Aye, fakirs. I've seen them do things you wouldn't believe.
Really? Such as what?
Well, I've seen a cove with no more clothes on than a baby.
Oh, dear.
If you know what I mean, ma'am. I've seen him take an empty basket, empty, mind you, and tie it all round with ropes.
Oh, you mean a basket trick. That's just a fake.
Fake, you call it. I tell you, I've seen it.
So have I, and I've read how it's done. Well, I could do it myself with a bit of practice.
Could you now? Well, what do you say to an old fakir chucking a rope in the air, mind you, and swarming up it the same as if it was hooked, then vanishing clear out of sight?
Ah, but that's impossible.
I've seen it with my own eyes, lad.
Oh, come on.
You mean to say you doubt my word?
No, no, the lad's only taking you off, all in fun.
But it's true, I tell you, and that's not all. Why, if I chose, I could tell you things. But no, you don't get any more yarns from me.
Nonsense, old friend. You're not going to get shirty about a bit of fun.
Yeah, let me fill your glass.
Thank you kindly, ma'am.
You know, I'd like to go to India myself someday. Just to look round a bit, see them fakirs and jugglers and old temples and things.
You're better off where you are, White. There's things in India it's best for a man not to know about.
What was that you started telling me about the other day, about a monkey's paw or something?
Nothing. Leastways, nothing worth hearing.
A monkey's paw?
Aye.
Come on, Morris, tell us about it.
No, it's nothing. Don't go on about it.
You said you always carried it with you.
So I do, for fear of what might happen.
Here's your glass, Sergeant Major.
Thank you, ma'am.
What's the monkey's paw for, sir?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Oh, yes, I would. Have you got it with you now?
Of course.
Well, can we see it?
Oh, it's nothing to look at. Just an ordinary little paw dried up into a mummy. Here you are.
Oh, it's dirty.
Give us a look. Oh, it's all dried up.
I said so.
And, what might there be special about it?
That there paw has had a spell put on it.
Oh, dear. Give it back to him, John.
Oh, hi, here, take it.
Who was it put the spell on it?
An old fakir. A very oldy man he was. Used to sit all doubled up in one spot.
Oh.
Sat like that for going on 15 years,
oh,
thinking
yeah.
of things. And he wanted to show that people was ruled by fate. That everything was cut and dried from the beginning, as you might say. That there weren't no getting away from it. And that if you tried, you'd catch it off.
Don't say.
So he put a spell on this bit of a paw.
Why a monkey's paw?
Oh, it might have been anything else, but he took the first thing that came handy. Aye. He put a spell on it and made it so that three people could each have three wishes.
Ooh.
But mark you, though those wishes were granted, those three people would have cause to wish they hadn't been.
But how could the wishes be granted?
He didn't say. It would all happen so natural, you might think it was just a coincidence, if so disposed.
Why haven't you tried it, sir?
I have.
Oh, you've had your three wishes?
Yes.
And were they granted?
They were.
As anybody else wished?
Yes. The first owner had his three wishes. Oh, yes. Yes, he had his three wishes, all right. I don't know what his first two were, but the third was for death.
Oh.
That's how I got the paw.
Well, it seems you've only got to wish for things that can't have any bad luck about them.
Ah, you don't understand, laddie.
Morris, if you've had your three wishes, the paw's no good to you now. What do you keep it for?
Fancy, I suppose. I did have some idea of selling it, but I don't think I will. It's done enough mischief already. Besides, people won't buy. Some of them think it's a fairy tale, and some want to try it first and pay after.
Well, if you could have another three wishes, would you?
I don't know. I don't know. No. No, I'm damned if I would. I've had my fill of this cursed pot. It's time the world was rid of it.
Are you not in the fire?
Yes, in the fire. There.
No, no. Here, I'll get it out.
Don't be a fool. Let it burn. Let the infernal thing burn, I tell you.
Not if I can help. Ah, got it. Here we are.
Is it burnt?
No, it's just singed a bit.
Chuck it back again, man.
No. If you don't want it, give it to me.
Not I. Not I. My hands are clear of it. I threw it on the fire. If you keep it, don't blame me for what happens. But if you have any sense, you'll fetch it back.
Yes, do as he says, John, please.
No, I'm going to keep it. Now, what do you say, Herbert?
Oh, I say keep it if you want to. Stuff and nonsense, anyhow.
Stuff and nonsense. Yes, I wonder. I wish I could...
Stop.
What?
Mind what you're doing. That's not the way.
What do you mean? It's not...
I mean, that's not the right way to wish.
Well, what is the right way?
Oh, don't have anything to do with it, John.
That's what I say, ma'am. But if I don't tell him what to do, he might go wishing for something he didn't mean to, by accident. Look, you hold the paw in your right hand first. Then wish aloud.
Huh?
But I warn you, wife. I warn you.
Oh, that's your baby night.
What shall I wish for, Jenny?
Well, let me see. You might wish for me 4 pair of hands to do my housework.
Oh, right you are. Here we go. I wish...
Stop it.
What's the matter?
If you must wish, wish for something sensible.
All right. Suppose I wish...
No. Wait. I can't stand this. Where's my coat?
You're not going.
Yes, ma'am, I must. My nerves aren't up to this. Get my coat, will you, laddie?
Well, if you wait a bit, sir, I'll come along with you. I'll go your way.
Thank you, lad, but I can't stay any longer.
Not even for another glass of
grog?
Not
for anything. I don't want to be here when you wish. And wish you will as soon as my back is turned.
What makes you think so?
Because I know. I know. Pitch it in the fire.
Here's your coat, sir.
Thank you. Now, mind, I warned you, White. I warned all of you. Remember?
Yes. Don't worry about us, old friend.
Here. What's this?
For the monkey's paw.
No, I'll take no money for it.
Yes, you will.
Well, good night, all.
Good night, Martin. Well, what do you make of that?
Poor old Sergeant Major. If there's no more in his monkey's paw than there is in his other stories, we shan't make much out of it.
John, did you give him something for it?
Oh, just a trifle.
Well, you shouldn't have thrown your money about.
I wonder...
Wonder what?
I wonder whether we haven't better chuck it back on the fire.
What for? Why, we're all going to be rich and famous and happy.
Throw it on the fire indeed when you've given good money for it.
Wish to be an emperor, Dad. then you can't be henpecked anymore.
That'll be enough of that, young man. You be quiet.
You know, when I stop to think of it, I don't know what to wish for, and that's a fact. I seem to have got all I want.
If only you'd cleared the debt on the house, you'd be perfectly happy, eh, Dad?
Oh, that's right.
Well, go ahead. Wish for the £200. That'll just do it.
Shall I?
Of course. Here's the four. Now, take it in your right hand and wish.
No, don't, John. Don't have anything to do with it.
Go on, Dad, go on.
Yes, by Jove, I will. I wish for £200. Oh!
John, what is it?
It moved. As I wished, the paw twisted my hand like a snake.
Nonsense. Here, let me see it. Why, it's as stiff as a bone.
I tell you, it moved.
Oh, it was just your fancy.
No!
Well, I don't see any money anywhere. And I bet I never shall.
Whew, thank God there's no harm done. But that give me a shock and no mistake.
Oh, 11:30. Time I was off.
Mind you take your glasses.
I don't.
And you won't be late for breakfast, will you?
Not if I can help it. But I'll be walking home, you know.
Walking? Why?
Well, I can't take my bike in this weather. So don't wait for me after 9.
All right. Have you got your scarf?
Aye, all set. Good night, Mother.
Good night, dear.
You'll find the £200 tied up in the middle of your bed, I expect, Dad.
Don't joke about it, son.
And a monkey hanging by his tail from the bedpost, watching you count your golden sovereigns.
Herbert?
Yes?
Nothing. Nothing. Good night, my boy.
Good night, Dad.
What's wrong?
Top bolted stiff again. There. I must get Herbert to look at it in the morning.
Well, I'm off to bed. Will you see to the fire?
Yes, all right. Hey! Jenny! Jenny!
What's the matter? John, what is it?
It's nothing. It's nothing. I just saw faces in the fire.
Oh. Well, come along to bed, dear.
Hey, that ends part one, and we are joined by the lovely, delightful.
That's your QCW. That's your QCW.
Turn the mic on, dear. She's with us in spirit, if not in,
audio. Better mute her and bring her back again, Dale. Maybe that'll do it.
We can give it a go. Give it the old college try.
And there she is, hopefully. CW. Yep.
Yoo-hoo. You and who? Well, perhaps she stepped away for a moment. That's fine. She'll be back, I'm sure. This is part one, we heard, of The Monkey's Paw from CBC Mystery Theater.
Yeah, we have... Not to be confused with CBS Mystery Theater, which we'll have tomorrow night. Ooh.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's all about wishes. We hope you're thinking about what you would wish for if you had, I think Dave said, what, two wishes?
Two wishes, yes.
And our limits are no asking for multiple wishes.
And no wishing to go back and change something that you did. You could change it now, but you can't go back and change it.
So, yeah, your second wish can't be an undo the first wish.
Yes, yeah.
Which, oh, her call dropped, so it must have been a bad connection.
Okay, she'll be calling back in. Yep, yep.
That's right.
Interesting, one thing I do have here about, they said about the CBC, says radio is a unique medium, and though it may be overshadowed by the newer media, which means television, as a means of communication, it has nonetheless played a central role in the evolution of Canadian and global communication and society. We maintain that radio drama scripts contained in our archive are more important artifacts of the cultural and political development of Canadian modernity itself. And so it's kind of interesting. that they, and they still haven't given up on it. They still do some radio drama from time to time. And of course, CBC is also sponsored in part by the government, as the BBC is, and they still do some radio dramas and such. So, and that's something our government has never really done, Dale, is radio was always kind of on its own here, always, and still is.
You never know, but I'll tell you what, I'll bet you CW is here to remind me that I spoke in error earlier. I attributed the Monkey's Paw for some reason to Edgar Allan Poe.
To Edgar Allan Poe.
It was actually a horror story written by an English author, W.W. Jacobs. Say hello, CW.
Ah.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We hear you.
Oh, outstanding. Brava. Greetings, salutations, felicitations, and howdy, everybody. The Hee-Haw Girls versus the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. You know I'm always listening.
I'm in trouble now.
We had to get you to call in one way or the other.
Yeah.
I guess. My goodness.
If we ever make you irate, I mean, get you to yell at me.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I don't know. I was thinking about those proverbial two wishes. And first of all, I feel like I'm being hoodwinked. It's colloquially, traditionally three wishes. But, you know,
well,
inflation,
you know, actually,
you don't get as much as you used to.
But see, when you get your traditional three wishes, you get to make one, then you get to think about it a while, then you get to make another, then you want to think about it, then you undo everything and go back to the start. That's the traditional three. You don't get that here. That's why you're getting two.
Dave's pulling that wish.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm thinking, you know.
Be a wish pig.
Wish pig.
Yeah. Jeez. What are you people
oh,
on?
My gosh. Oh, I'm a wish hoarder. Yes. Hello, everyone. I am a wish hoarder.
I'm not listening to Erie House no more. They only offer two wishes.
Yeah. Wow. And Erie House, besides Blog Talk Radio and, see, what is it, Podcast Addict, of course, you're on TuneIn as well, where you can catch Erie House.
Nice.
But as to my wish, I think the first wish is that I could program and control every variety of computer software. Now, if the grid ever goes down, that's going to be pretty useless. But as long as the grid stays in place, that's a very fortuitous talent. Hello, Swiss bank account.
I like it. I like it.
Interesting. I'll give my first one. I'll get that out of the way so that I have to think. I wish that I had enough to really to create a local studio where anybody who does filming would be able to come in and do it for free, and we'd have the green screen set up and things like that. And that also means we could have the opportunity to do that as well. But also for other struggling people who – and we're all struggling because we're not out in Hollywood and don't have budgets. And it'd be really nice to be able to have that for people locally to us.
True.
That would be nice. I mean, with all due respect to George Romero, when he made Night of the Living Dead on basically what is grocery money in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Came out with that perennial classic. You know, I mean, I think you can get away with more because the tech is so much better.
Yeah, it's not that you can't, because a lot of people have done it on shoestring budgets, certainly compared to Hollywood. But in general, people like Dale, like I, like Gar, like Brian Pixler, and you know, Mummy and the Monkey. I'm thinking of all these local people here. Literally, it's everything is out of their pockets. You know, like Gar said, this is a reverse hobby because everything costs us.
Yeah. It is.
And,
well, it's not a reverse hobby. You sink money into a hobby. If you're a collector, there's money.
Well, that's
if you're
true.
Both a hobbyist
true.
And
you're
a collector,
right.
then maybe there's a money aspect to it. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so anyway.
It's still
a
risk, you know. But
true.
Yeah, I'm sure if you were able to do that, there will be a lot of parents who say, thank goodness I can get this kid out of my basement. Let him go to Dave's house and do all this stuff.
Actually, there were times I thought when this house was next to me, I said, man, that would be great if I could buy that and kind of turn that into a studio. That would be great.
There are buildings I look at all the time thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, yeah. I mean, I would like that if I could afford to buy a warehouse, like an old warehouse and rehab it. The top part I could reside in would be a private residence, and the lower half I could do whatever I want. I can rent it out for artists or musicians or what have you to just use that as a free space, provided, of course, they keep it neat and tidy.
Yep.
So that would be great. And I always like that warehouse look, sort of a secret villain alcove. You know, if I can't live in the side of a volcano.
With a door like the Bat Cave, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can get out that way.
Cool. Yeah, a secret pole or, you know, go down the poles, or as Alfred always did, he went down the stairway, the secret stairway.
It's good for his health.
I think I only saw him,
I think I only saw him
in the TV series where Alfred took the pole once. I think I only saw it one time.
Oh, my God.
So undignified. So undignified.
I'm sure that actor... Oh, most unseemly. Most unseemly. Yes.
Yes. Oh, undignified. Wow.
Yes, very much so.
Well, you're just in time, CW, to help us finish off this tale of not from Edgar Allan Poe.
Allan Poe. I'm just
rather W.W. Jacobs. This story first appeared in Harper's Monthly back in 1902. It's been adapted many times in other media. I remember always thinking, and it's referenced here in Wikipedia, I remember when Stephen King's Pet Sematary came out, I thought, how much like The Monkey's Paw is this story? And I would think it's a retelling of it, absolutely.
It is, actually.
I can see the influences. I can, yeah.
Yeah. With that in mind, let's wrap up from CBC. See how easy it is, Dave? CBC Mystery Theater, The Monkey's Paw.
You are. No sign of Herbert yet?
No. He hasn't got his bicycle. He said not to wait after 9.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten. Well, he's got a fine day for walking home. Cleared up nicely. Oh, by the way, where did you leave the monkey's paw last night?
On the mantelpiece. Still there. Silly, dirty thing. Spells indeed.
Oh, Morris and his yarns. I suppose all old soldiers are the same.
The idea of our listening to such nonsense. How could wishes be granted nowadays?
Doesn't seem likely, does it?
And all the rubbish about it's making you unhappy if your wish was granted.
Ha ha. You've been thinking about it, have you?
No, of course not. But, how could £200 hurt anyone?
Well, I suppose it might drop on your head in a lump. Don't see any other way. Though, mind you, Morris said it would happen so naturally that you might take it for a coincidence, if so disposed.
Well, it hasn't happened. That's all I know, and it isn't going to. What's that?
Postman, of course. Yes, there's a letter in the box.
A letter? Oh, John. Suppose
what?
Suppose it's the £200.
Eh? Yeah, don't talk nonsense. What's got into you?
Nothing, I just thought.
Another bill, I expect.
No, it's not. It's quite thick. And it's got something crisp inside.
Who's it for?
You.
Yeah, let me see. Hey, that's odd.
Well, go on, open it.
All right, don't get excited.
Take care, don't tear it. If it's banknotes.
Banknotes, fat shot.
Looks like some kind of document.
And a slip of paper.
What does it say?
It says, "Sir, enclosed, please find receipt for interest on the mortgages of £200 in your house duly received."
Well, that comes of listening to tipsy old soldiers.
What does?
You thought there was banknotes in it.
I did not. I said all along...
How Herbert will laugh when I tell him.
Well, you're not going to tell him. You're going to keep your mouth shut. That's what you're going to do. God, I never hear the last of it.
He said you're right for trying to frighten us last night.
What do you mean?
Saying the paw moved when you wished.
But it did. It did move. Now that, I'll swear to
you. You thought it did.
No, I say it did. There was no thinking about it.
9:30. Herbert should be here by now, walking or not. He's off at 8:00.
But he has to change and wash before he leaves the plant.
Still, it shouldn't take him all this time. I'll look and see if he's coming down the road.
Your sausages are getting cold. See him?
No. But there's a man by the garden gate. Looks to be a gentleman.
What about him?
He's looking at the house. As if he wants to come in. To make up his mind.
Oh, go on. You're full of fancies this morning.
No, he's going on. No, he's coming back.
Well, don't let him see you peep in.
John, he looks like a sort of lawyer.
Well, what of it?
Oh, you know. But suppose he's coming about the £200.
Oh, nonsense. Come and eat your breakfast. Where is he now?
At the gate again. He's coming in. Oh, dear. And me all untidy.
What's the matter? He's made a mistake. Come to the wrong house.
Oh, I'll go. I'll go and see who did.
Is this Mr. White?
Yes. Come in, sir.
Thank you.
Please step in. You must overlook being so untidy.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Samson.
Won't you please be seated?
Thank you. No, I think not.
Wanted to see me, sir?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've come from the electrical works.
Oh, then it's our son Herbert you want to see. He'll be home soon, if you care to wait.
No. I was asked to call. That is, the company sent me to...
Is anything the matter?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Herbert! What's happened? Is he hurt?
Now, Mother, don't jump to conclusions. Let the gentleman speak. You've not brought bad news, sir, I'm sure.
Why? Oh, sorry, Mr. White, there's been an accident at the plant.
Herbert! She's been hurt.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, John.
Badly hurt, sir?
Yes, very badly.
Is he in pain?
Oh, no, he's not in pain.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
But if he's badly hurt... Good God. You can't mean it.
Yes.
Oh, my boy. My boy. Oh, no.
Go on, sir. What happened?
He was telling his mates a story. Something that happened here last night. He was laughing about it and not paying attention. And the machinery caught him.
Oh, no.
The machinery caught him. I see.
The company wished me to convey their sincere sympathy with you in your great loss.
A great loss, yes.
And I was to say further.
He was our only child.
Please understand, I'm only the company's servant. I'm only obeying orders.
Yes. Machinery.
I was to say the company disclaims all responsibility, but in consideration of your son's services, they wish to present you with a sum of money as compensation.
For our great loss. Hey, how much?
£200.
Oh, no!
£200?
John!
Oh, it's bold gifts. It's a great night. There. Well, that's that. Time we got to bed, Jenny. Jenny?
What?
I said it's time for bed. What are you doing at the window?
Looking up the road.
What for? You can't see anything.
Yes, I can. The moonlight's so bright you can almost see the cemetery.
Oh, Jenny, please come away from there. You'll get cold.
It's colder where he is.
Is it only a week since we laid him there?
I don't know.
We don't take much account of time now, do we?
Why should we? He'll never come home again. There's nothing to think about now.
Or to talk about.
He took all our hopes with him.
And our wishes.
Aye, and all our... John.
Hey, what on earth's the matter?
The paw. The monkey's paw.
What about it?
Where is it? What happened to it?
I don't know why.
You haven't done away with it?
I haven't seen it since...
Well, find it. Find it.
Well, it was here on the mantelpiece the last time I... Oh, yes, here it is.
Oh, thank God. Why didn't I think of it before? Why didn't you think of it?
What are you talking about?
The other two wishes.
What?
We've only had one.
Oh, wasn't that enough, Jenny?
No. We'll have one more. Don't you see? We'll wish our boy alive again.
Good God, woman, are you mad?
We had our first wish granted. Why not our second?
Jenny, you don't know what you're saying. He's been dead for more than a week. When they showed him to me, I only knew him by his clothing. If you weren't allowed to see him then, how could you bear to see him now?
I don't care. Bring him back. Take the paw and wish.
No, I can't touch it.
You must. Here, take it. Now wish.
Jenny, please.
Wish.
Oh, God, forgive me. I wish my son alive again. Oh, what's happened? I can't see.
The candle's gone out.
But how could it? I didn't...
Wait. Listen.
Jenny. Where are you?
At the window.
Shh. Well, what do you see?
Nothing.
Oh, thank God.
Nothing at all. Along the whole length of the road, there's not a living thing. It's as empty as our lives.
We still have each other. And our memories.
Memories.
There now. Don't take on so. Here, I'll light the candle. And then we'll go up to bed. There. That's better, eh? Come along now, Mother.
I'm no longer a mother. Oh, Herbert. Herbert. What's that?
Nothing. Just a rat in the wall.
It's Herbert. He's at the door.
Here, stop. What are you going to do?
I'm going to open it.
No, for God's sake.
Let me go. Why are you trying to hold me?
Jenny, I beg you, don't open the door.
I must. Let me go.
Think what we might see.
Do you think I'm afraid of my own child?
No.
Let me go.
No.
I'm coming, Herbert.
No.
I'm coming.
No, Jenny, don't do it. Go on, what can I do? What can I... The paw. The monkey's paw. It's one wish left.
John, come and help me. I can't move the top.
Where
no.
is that paw? Where did I drop it?
John, help me, quick.
Where is that thing? In God's name, where did it fall?
Wait, Herbert. I'm trying to open this. It's moving. It's moving.
Ah, here it is. I wish my son dead. I wish him dead. And at peace.
No one here. There's nothing.
Thank God. Oh, thank God.
Mystery Theater has presented The Monkey's Paw by W.W. Jacobs, in radio version by John Bethune. Production and direction, Gene Bartels. In the cast, Cosette Lee as the mother, Alan King, the father, and Jim Bradford, Herbert the son. Glenn Morris was heard as Sergeant Major Morris, and Gilly Fennick, Samson, the man from the electrical company. Sound effects were by Alex Sheridan, and technical operation, Henry Durda. This is Bill Lorne speaking.
And this is Dale Kay speaking from Erie House Radio. Even though you know how it ends, that was kind of chilling.
It always is.
That was a lot like Stephen King's Pet Sematary.
Well done. Well done, Canada.
Yep. And no apologies necessary, at least this time.
Yep. And even though he's not here physically, Erie House Radio proudly presents a Garless Moral of the Story as written by Gar. Take it, Dave!
Okay, be careful what you wish for, because... Oh, wait, wrong one. Hang on. Here we go. Often folks wish for yesteryear, but don't take into account yesteryear's pitfalls.
Ooh, sage advice indeed.
Yep. You know, and kind of like, something's coming.
Crickets are very quiet.
Oh, crickets.
That was supposed to be my sound bite. It came in kind of late there. Sorry.
Yeah, be better off. Well, you know what happened? The Budweiser frog was around and they all backed off.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Well, so what I should have done was this. But I didn't.
Oh, yeah, was that? Oh, that sounds like Spuds McKenzie.
No, that was that Bingo? Wasn't that who Bingo from the Banana Splits, right?
What, that sound effect?
I
have no idea where Big Chuck and Houlihan got
Bingo.
That one from.
I think that was Bingo from Banana Splits, or whichever character.
Bingo was the dog, I think. The blue, the red dog.
Yeah, who was the
lady? This reminds me of the Banana Splits at all.
Oh yeah, no, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's it. But
okay.
Drooper was the elephant-looking dude.
That didn't say anything. Yeah, yeah. He was the Harpo Marx of the group.
Flegel was the beagle-looking dog guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, which one was the one that said the lion had a saxophone or something?
Yeah, I always get the Banana Splits mixed up with the Wombles.
A Wombles.
There was another.
The Wombles.
That was
not a UK thing.
A Womble. No, that was an Aussie thing.
Oh, Snorky was the elephant, according
Snorky.
To
Snorky. Thank you.
Snorky. Because Gar is with us in spirit and in chat. But
yeah. He has two fingers that are still working. So he's giving it everything.
Flego. Flego was the dog leader. Flego.
Yep.
Flego.
Flego was a gorilla. All right. Leave it to Gar.
So Gar, I gotta get into here. Did you tell us which one it was? The Jerry Mahoney voiced one. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm not sure which character that one was. Not Jerry Mahoney, the ventriloquist guy in the 50s who found tons of work as a voice artist, 60s and on. Bingo was the gorilla. Okay.
Yep. Dude still has his Banana Splits fan club card. Oh, good Lord.
He does.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Don't take his toys or we'll have a crisis, which, by the way, is our next program.
Yes, it is.
Segway Sam at it again. Anything the mind can conceive is our story tonight from Crisis.
Yeah, and another Jim French story. The guy was so prolific, I think. I'm going to look up a couple things on him at the break time, share those. But what an amazing, prolific guy that did was. He kind of did a little, I think, stationed in Honolulu for a while and then did a radio. There was a kind of like a disc jockey. When he moved back to the States and headed up to Seattle, Oregon, that kind of thing, he really got into radio drama and presenting them. And he created he was part of a network of programs going up and down the West Coast. And so many programs he made, wrote, created, produced, directed, and having actually one of the very few authorized versions of Sherlock Holmes in this country, as far as the series. So very interesting. Very interesting.
Yep. Now, Gar brought up last time we had Crisis and notated it again for tonight. Listen carefully. You will hear music that was also used in Dark Shadows.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. I bet you CW will pick it up right away.
Cool.
Yep. But make sure you put it back when you're done, CW. That's all.
If I must.
Picking up what we're putting down. Here we go with Anything the Mind Can Conceive. Originally broadcast.
August 28th of 1970 and 5.
The Golden West Radio Network presents Crisis.
Having one.
As historians look back upon the latter part of the 20th century, they may well categorize the mid-70s as the age of the cult. Not since the Dark Ages has the world groped so blindly for spiritual guidance or looked so desperately for some sort of communion with a power mightier than the mortal. Tonight's tale concerns itself with one person who unlocked a power that lies within all of us. A power so limitless that to understand it requires the elimination of one word in the vocabulary of mankind. That word is impossible. For Peter Cordray learned what lies beyond the impossible. He learned what happens when you learn to think the unthinkable. I'll be back in a minute to bring you Act One of tonight's tale of Crisis, called Anything the Mind Can Conceive. Peter Cordray was so unremarkable he sometimes thought he was invisible. Except for being tall, 6'2", he could move through a crowd and go absolutely unnoticed. He had a mop of dark hair, a triangular face with a blue shadow of beard, a pair of unmatching bushy eyebrows, sheltering narrow and deep-set eyes of a dark and undetermined color. He was narrow-shouldered and thin. He wore a white shirt open at the collar, dark pants, a rumpled, dark-colored windbreaker. His step was ragged, tentative, the tread of a man who doesn't have any firm idea of where he's going. This particular afternoon, Peter had gone to the post office where he checked his mailbox, and he found, to his relief, that today there was something in it, a sizable yellow envelope postmarked St. Louis, Missouri. Clutching it under his arm, Peter hurried out onto the street again, this time with a purposeful stride. In the same block as the post office was a cafe. Peter hurried in and walked to the very last booth, where he slid into a seat. He hid the yellow envelope under his windbreaker until the waitress brought him a cup of coffee and a bowl of chili, and then after looking furtively around, he withdrew the envelope and opened it.
That's here at last. Dear friend, congratulations. You are about to embark upon a new life of undreamed of happiness and fulfillment. New power is soon to be yours. You're about to learn the secrets once known only to sorcerers. The power to command riches, obedience, love, and respect. To have whatever you desire, whatever you can imagine, and have it instantly. If this statement causes you to be doubtful, dear friend, put it to a test right now. Wherever you are, repeat this incantation and wait not more than 10 seconds. You must say it aloud, word for word. All right, what do I say? I place myself in the hands of him who seeks my soul, and in his name command that money be my goal. Huh? I place myself in the hands of him who seeks my soul, and in his name...
Hey, this yours?
What?
This your wallet? It was on the floor by your seat.
My wallet?
Here you go. Better hang on to it. You might lose it for good next time.
A wallet? It must have a name on it. Some money. 20, 40, 60, 80, 90, 100. $100. It worked. It worked.
Peter Cordray stumbles out onto the sidewalk, clutching the yellow envelope and the wallet tight under his arm. At the first intersection, he prudently extracts the $100 from the wallet and throws the wallet into a city trash can. The words he learned burn in his brain, burn so brightly he mumbles them aloud as he starts across the street.
I place myself in the hands of him who seeks my soul, and in his name command that money be my goal.
Oh, good Lord. Are you all right? I didn't see you. Are you all right? Do you hurt? We'll call an ambulance. Get an ambulance, somebody, please.
No, it's all right.
Don't try to move. Look, I'm a responsible person. Just don't worry about a thing. You'll be all right. I'm a very responsible person. They're getting an ambulance.
It's all right. I don't...
Can you move at all?
I don't know. My envelope. I had an envelope.
What? Well, is this it?
Yeah. Give it to me.
Oh, sure. Listen, it wasn't my fault. I didn't even see you.
My money. I had some money in my pocket.
No one's going to get your money. I'll stay right here with you until the ambulance comes.
I don't want an ambulance. I want to go home. Just let me get up.
No. Stay down. You may be hurt.
My money, where is it?
I don't know anything about your money.
Oh, here it is. It's in my pocket. It's okay.
Really, I think you ought to see a doctor. I'll pay for it, of course.
No. I'll be okay. I just want to get home.
All right. Now, look. I'm a responsible citizen. Now, here, take this.
What?
Take it, go on. It's all the cash I have.
Cash? What
now,
do you mean?
Please, if you won't wait for a doctor, I want you to take it. Go on.
This is $400.
I just want to do the right thing, that's all. I'm a responsible person.
Every man's home is his hideaway, and when Peter Cordray limped into his third-floor apartment, he had no thought to examine his body for injuries until he had hidden the money in the yellow envelope where he thought it would be safe. Then he went to the bathroom, stripped, saw that he had a bruise on one knee and a scrape on his hip and elbow, but nothing more. He drew a hot bath and stepped in. Then remembered the envelope, jumped back out of the tub, got the envelope from its hiding place under the mattress, came back and sat down in the tub again to read the rest of the contents of the envelope.
Now you have proven to yourself that what has been claimed for this offer is true, and yet you have been given only a superficial demonstration of the power locked within your own being. You now... will proceed with absolute faith that what you desire will be yours instantly. What do I desire? I can get money. What else do I want? I know. I place myself in the hands of him who seeks my soul, and in his name command that Norma Bennett be my goal. There. I don't believe it. It couldn't be. Where's my bathrobe? Here it is. I'm coming.
Peter, are you all right?
Norma.
They told me you were run over.
Well, I was. Not run over, just knocked down. Come in. Excuse me, I was taking a bath.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad you came.
Are you hurt?
Well, no. Just bruised and scratched up a little. Listen, hang on, and let me get some clothes on.
Well, if you're really not hurt, I...
Norma, don't go. You can't go.
All right.
Talk to me through the door. I'll be right out.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, how you heard about the accident?
Someone saw it. They called Mr. Julian, and he told me.
Well, why'd he tell you?
Because he's heard me mention you before.
He has?
Yes.
I didn't think you ever mentioned knowing me. I mean, why would you?
Well, anyway, he let me off so I could see if you were all right.
Well, and you walked all the way over here from the drugstore?
Not so far.
There. All dressed.
Well, I suppose I should be getting back.
Norma, it was very nice of you to worry about me. I didn't think you cared, you know, about me.
I don't know. I just couldn't stand the thought of you being hurt.
Norma?
Oh, Peter.
Some hours later, in the confessional mood of two people who've just discovered each other, Peter recited the adventures which began when he opened the yellow envelope.
Yeah. I've seen that ad myself a dozen times. It says something about learn the mystic power that commands money and love.
That's the one.
And they send you this yellow envelope.
Yeah, and the instructions. And they work.
But it's impossible.
Impossible? Is the $500 real?
Yeah.
Are you real?
I'm beginning to wonder.
What brought you here to me the very second after I repeated the incantation. Yeah. What made you show up that very second?
Coincidence.
Like the money.
Well, that could be a coincidence, too.
Listen, darling, it's not a coincidence. It's a power. Listen to what else it says. There is no limit to the things you may command, except for your own imagination and your ability to believe in the power you have.
Wow, you really believe in this, don't you?
I've got to. Look what it's brought me already. Hey, what's the wildest thing you can imagine?
Well, I don't know.
Come on.
Well, I don't know. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head.
Then I'll think of something. It says use your imagination. Okay, well, let's start small. How about clothes?
Clothes. You're going to wish for clothes?
Not wish. Command.
Oh, all right. Command.
All right, I'm going to try it. I place myself in the hands of him who seeks my soul, and in his name...
Him who seeks your soul?
Hey, you wrecked it. Don't interrupt.
Who are you praying to, anyway?
I'm not praying to anybody. I'm saying this incantation.
Say it again.
I place myself in the hands of him who seeks my soul, and...
Peter,
do
you know what you're saying? You're saying you give yourself to the devil.
No, I'm not. Where does it say that?
The devil is seeking everyone's soul. It says so in the Bible.
This doesn't even mention the devil.
But that's what it means. Peter, get rid of this stuff.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Let me show you what it can do.
No, Peter. I know what it can do. I know what it's already done to you. You took $100 that didn't even belong to you in that cafe. Then you let a stranger give you $400 more because he thought he'd injured you. It's the same as stealing.
So? What do you want? You think I should just give it back?
Yes.
And what about you? I got you the same way I got the money.
Oh, no, you didn't. You don't have me at all.
Where are you going?
Home. No. What I'm going to report you to the police.
No, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Let go of me.
I place myself in the hands of him who shake my soul and in his name command that Norma Bennett dies.
Well, that was a little rough, don't you think?
Yeah, he could just could make her stutter or something, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what I would have been. Plus, not only could she not have told on him, but it would be funny at the same time, you know?
You're awesome. You are. the times we have.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I did promise a little bit about Jim French, who was an American radio personality and producer who has written and published and produced, as of 2011, over 803 radio shows. He was the Hyman Brown of the West Coast. I guess that's what I got to say. And I always say that the best way to learn a little something about somebody is to read their obituary. I'm going to share some of that with you right here. James Rowley Jim French passed away peacefully at his home on December 20th, 2017, with his daughter at his side. He was 89 years old. Jim was born September 23rd, 1928, to James and Mabel Rowley French in Pasadena, California, where he grew up and attended school. Jim joined the U.S. Army in 1945 and was stationed in Japan, where he was assigned to the Armed Forces Radio Service in the city of Kokura. After he returned, Jim attended Pasadena City College, where he met and became engaged to Patricia Ann Sewell. They were wed June 17, 1950, were married 66 years until Pat's death in 2017. Actually, it was about 2 months before Jim passed away. Just to mention Pat French, she, in all these crises, she was in every single one of these. And also some of the Imagination Theater. They had two children, Leslie Ann and James Forrest French. From the time Jim was a small boy, he was fascinated with radio. Over a career of more than 70 years, Jim touched many lives through his work as a radio personality in Southern California, Hawaii, and Seattle. He was a writer, producer, and director of Imagination Theater and creator of The Adventures of Harry Nile, Dameron, and Kincaid, the Strange Seeker.
Gamma?
The Further Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Jim spent his life doing what he loved, and his audio drama legacy will live on in his body of work for years to come. There you go.
Wow. Ooh. Very, very impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, I mentioned a lot of things, including Imagination Theater, but didn't even mention these crisis programs. So just and not just to produce them. I mean, he wrote most of the stories in these series here. Just absolutely amazing, the talent and the drive that this man had and the love for radio he had.
Wow, that is outstanding. He's right up there with Rod Serling.
With his writing many times, it had that same kind of touch to it.
That's amazing. I'm jealous.
That's
why I have no talent, because people like that absorb it from the planetary gene pool and don't leave any for the rest of us, namely me.
Namely me.
I love it. Brutal honesty, that's how people should be. Brutally honest.
Brutally honest, yeah, that's me.
Brutal. Yep. So we better get, after that long-winded speech I gave, we should get right back into the conclusion, the exciting conclusion. Crisis.
Talking about brutal, anything the mind can conceive.
Peter Cordray stood staring at the body of Norma Bennett for several minutes before he decided what to do. But when the idea arrived in his brain, He laughed aloud at the simple, obvious correctness of it. He walked around the body, left the apartment, walked down three flights to the street, and made his way across town to the cafe where he had visited earlier in the day. This time, he deliberately chose a seat at the counter, in plain view of the waitress.
Hi. Remember me?
Yeah, this afternoon, right?
Right. You found my wallet for me. I wanted to thank you and give you this.
$20? Are you kidding?
No. Take it.
What?
My name's Peter Cordray. I won't be taking money from a stranger.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot, but you don't have to do this.
I know. Listen, bring me a hamburger.
Sure. One burger coming up.
I place myself in the hands of him who seeks my soul, and in his name command that my apartment house burn completely down.
Say something?
No, nothing at all. What do I want? What do I want? I'm going to need a new place to live. And where will that be? Hey, how about Florida? Hey, you ever been to Florida? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I said, you ever been to Florida?
No.
Like to go there?
Sure. Uh-huh.
Tonight?
Ha, ha, ha.
You can.
Okay, what's the joke?
No joke. Come on outside for a minute.
Don't you want your hamburger?
No. Coming with me?
No, afraid not tonight.
That's what you think. I place myself in the hands of him who seeks my soul, and in his name command that this waitress and myself be in a pool in Miami Beach in my new luxury apartment. It worked! It worked!
I can't swim! What's happening?
Will you shut up?
I'm going crazy! Where am I?
Oh, boy. I place myself in the hands of him who seeks my soul, and in his name command that this woman go back to the cafe in Chicago. There's no limit, is there? There's nothing I can't do. All I have to do is command it. Oh, what's the ultimate? What's the greatest thing I can imagine? I'll have to give that some real thought. But I've got plenty of time. Big, heated pool. Sunny Florida afternoon. Visitors. Well, if I live in a pad as swanky as this is, I gotta have a butler, right? He'll get the door. Let the butler get it.
Mr. Peter Cordray?
Huh?
Are you Peter Cordray?
Yeah.
Police officers, Mr. Cordray. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Sure. What's the matter?
You originally from Chicago?
That's right.
What was your last address there?
My last address? 2914 Parkhurst Street, apartment 3B.
Did you know Miss Norma Bennett?
Well, I was acquainted with a Norma Bennett, yes.
When was the last time you saw her, Mr. Cordray?
I don't know. Why are you so interested in her?
Don't you know?
No, I don't.
She was in your apartment, Mr. Cordray. You left her there. Then you set fire to the apartment. You went to the Henderson Cafe, waited until the fire company passed the cafe. Then you announced you were coming here to Florida. Not too shrewd, Mr. Cordray. I have a warrant for your arrest. The charge is arson in an attempt to commit murder.
No!
Get out of the water, Mr. Cordray.
No, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, all right, I'll get out of the water. I place myself in the hands of him who saved my soul, and in his name command that I be back in Chicago before I ever killed Norma.
Back at you.
Oh, good Lord. Are you all right? I didn't see you. Are you all right, sir?
Someone, will you please call an ambulance? Will you get an ambulance, please? This man's hurt.
Excuse me. I think I know this man.
I'm a responsible person. I've never had an accident in my life.
Peter Cordray.
I think he's stunned. I didn't even see him.
Oh, no.
Look, just leave him. We have an ambulance. Say, catch that yellow envelope of his, someone. Oh, his envelope is blowing away. Somebody catch that envelope, will you?
Forget it. It isn't going to do him any good. Now, whatever it was.
They say there are only two sources of power in the world, the power of good and the power of evil. Peter Cordray handed his soul over to the wrong source of power, and now he'll have eternity to regret it. I'll be back in a minute with a scene from next week's Crisis and the names of tonight's players. Tonight, Crisis presented Anything the Mind Can Conceive, featuring Glenn Butkus as Peter Cordray, Margie Boulay as the waitress, Al Clark as the driver, Kay Balser as Norma, and John Walker as the policeman. The program was written and directed by yours truly, Jim French, who invites you now to join us next week at this time for Crisis.
Jim. Thanks, Jim. We appreciate it. That wraps up Crisis. Anything the mind can conceive.
Yep.
That was a good one.
Also good. Yep. Erie House Radio proudly presents a Garless Moral of the Story as written by Gar. I guess I'll do this one. Be careful what you wish for. It might just wish back. That's not... and no, Gar would have delivered better.
Okay.
But he was kind enough to write up the morals.
I don't believe you gave your first wish yet.
Oh, yeah, that's correct.
Who's counting? I am.
Gee, I wish you hadn't asked that. Oh, damn it, I blew one.
Oh, ouch.
Damn it. Wish. Wow. Oh, I could say some horrible things that would change the whole flavor of the show, and I ain't doing it. Let's see. What would I wish for? I don't know. I'm starting to get less about material things and more about health. I guess improved health.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's weak, but we'll let it get by. You better, your second wish better be better. All right.
Well, I mean, if we were getting into houses, I guess I would wish, like, for an incredible, like, something like the Skywalker Ranch or... no, somewhere...
Okay.
Cool. Somewhere rural where I could have a ton of garage space, a studio.
Yeah. There you go. There
corrals
you
go. For the animals.
Secret... Yeah. Don't forget the secret passageways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a given. A secret passageway would have to be a given.
Yeah, maybe I'd make it like the Winchester Mansion.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Doors go nowhere. Yeah.
That's
doors
right.
Doors go nowhere. Talk about when you need to go in the middle of the night. Wrong door.
The power of the pinto bean.
Before we get into our final show, CW, were you able to pull up the morals that Gar sent?
Actually, let's see if we can manage that, if I may.
Like if you do, yeah, because, you know, it would be your turn to do the moral for the next one, so.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It would be your
dear
turn, as it were.
Yep. Yep, yep.
Yeah.
And
it's a fine tale.
That leaves that leaves you, Dale, with your favorite, The Witch's Tale.
It's one of my favorites in that for a number of reasons. One, it's one of the earliest horror-hosted radio programs. Number two, it much like television horror hosting, it's a female horror host. Uh-huh. Number three came along later when I learned from Dave that often played by a very young 13-year-old voice actress.
Yep, yep.
So that in the era it was released is all like my kind of stuff.
Yeah, 1931 to 38, and as you know, it wasn't just one of the. It was the first. It celebrated the show's creation of Old Nancy, the Witch Salem, and grandmother to all horror hosts. There were horror movies. But this is the first one that had a regular sitting, and there was even some horror radio from time to time, stories over radio, but it wasn't until Nancy came along that there was a regular figure to sit there and moderate stories as they go along. So that's just absolutely, I think, amazing. That's where it all started, right there with Alonzo Dean Cole and his creation of The Witch's Tale and Nancy, the Old Witch.
Our pointed hats are off to you, Nan.
Yep.
A tip to the conical hat.
Yes.
And speaking of which, I do believe I have Gar's script in front of me.
Good. That's very good.
And this one's called The Wonderful Bottle. It was originally broadcast way, way, way back, February 2nd of 1934.
We bring you The Witch's Tale, written and produced by Alonzo Dean Cole. Join old Nancy and Satan, her wise black cat.
Hannah and 11 year old I be today. Yes, sir. Hannah and 11 year old. Well, Satan. If folks will just douse out them lights now, we'll be getting down to business. We want it dark and cheerful for our pretty little yarn. Draw up to the fire and gaze into them embers. Gaze into them deep, and soon you'll see a dusty road way down in South America in the wilds of the Argentines. On that road begins our tale of the wonderful bottle. The wonderful bottle.
There's another signpost, Matt. We're only 100 miles from Buenos Aires now.
You'll never be able to walk it, kid.
Well, the soles is all worn from your shoes, and them feet of yours are bleeding.
I'll walk it. I've got to. The hike will be easier now. Think of the load that's off my mind. I don't have to worry any longer as to whether my shoes will hold out.
When two guys are as down and out as we are, they don't really have to worry about anything. God. And we left the States to seek our fortune in the Argentine. Fortune.
We certainly haven't found it, have we? But maybe we'll strike something in Buenos Aires that'll put us on our feet again.
If you can stand on your feet when we get there. Kid, you simply got to bust into that 50 bucks you have and buy a pair of shoes.
Oh, I can't do that, Matt. That 50 is every cent I've been able to scrape together in the last 3 months. It's got to go home to my folks. They need it terribly.
I suppose you don't need it.
Oh, I'm young. They're old. I really owe it to them. Matt, you don't know how they scraped and saved in order to help me work my way through college. And now they've been taking care of Eva since her parents died because... Well, simply because they know she's going to marry me someday. Nearly drives me crazy to think $50 is all I have to send them.
And it drives me nuts to be tramping across country bumming meals when you have money pinned inside your shirt. If that dough has got to go to your folks, get an express order and send it to them, for the love of Mike.
Well, I can't until we get to Buenos Aires. That's where they think I'm doing so well in my own business. If I sent them a money order from anywhere else, Matt, they might suspect the truth.
Yeah, but your own way. I think you're a darn fool, but I kind of envy you with that. Must be nice having folks and a girl like that Eva you're so crazy about. I ain't got nothing. Never had.
I'm lucky, aren't I, Matt?
Yeah. God, I'm hungry.
So am I. It's been a long time since our last meal.
About 36 hours, that's all. Say, kid, take a look behind them trees.
Gee, what a beautiful house.
There ought to be some odd jobs we could do in a place like this to earn a dinner.
Oh, we'll soon find out. Here's the entrance gate, Matt. Come on.
I'm right behind you.
What's that?
An old Spanish woman back there on the road.
She's calling to us, Matt.
She's a servant on the place, I suppose, who wants to tell us no bums allowed inside the ground.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, we've been kicked out of better places than this. Come on.
I'm coming.
Signore, all right, all right. Don't get excited. Can't you see we're coming out?
Matt, I don't think she's trying to bawl us out.
Oh, what is she doing then? You understand the Spanish lingo.
I'll ask her. ¿Qué dice usted, señora?
Gracias a Dios. Con este día al momento, de salverle de una situación peligrosa.
Matt, she says she saved us from great danger.
Danger? What danger?
¿De qué se trata, señora?
Si son entrados por la puerta de esta casa, habían destituido almas inmortales.
Señora! She says if we'd gone to that house, we'd have lost our immortal souls.
Lost our souls?
Se construía esta casa por la diabla.
She says that house was built by the devil.
By the...
Oh, you're joking, señora. I mean... ¿Usted hace broma?
No, no. El dios que vive a la historiada del diablo. Si habían ido a ese puerto, la vendería una batida que la mandaría a Isterio.
She says the man who lives there is a servant of hell. And if we'd gone to that door, he'd have tried to sell us something that would damn us forever.
Well, if that ain't the craziest yarn I ever heard.
She must be a little mad to tell us a story such as that.
If she ain't, giving us the bum's rush, let's go back and try for a meal.
She's not a servant in that house. I'll thank her for advice first. Accepte usted la expresión de ma profunda gratitude, señora. Tenga que ame ahora. Adiós.
Oh, no. Ustedes son americanos. Todos como crino. Si van a esa casa, se contraen maquillosa.
Says if we go to that door, we'll regret it.
Punk, come on.
I'm coming. Adios, señora.
Señor.
Oh, go fly a kite.
Oh, don't talk to her like that, Matt. People down here are very superstitious. She probably believes the crazy yarn she told him.
Well, if the devil built that house, I'll say he's a good architect. It's the swellest joint I've seen in South America.
Must be great to have a place like that to live in. Instead of being like us.
Wonder if we'll ever sleep inside a house again.
Matt, someone's opening the door.
An old guy's coming out. To tell us to beat it, I suppose.
Oh, I suppose so.
I bid you welcome to my house, senor.
Huh? Is he talking to us?
May I invite you gentlemen to have dinner at my table?
Dinner? Us?
Of course, senor.
Jeff!
Matt!
We're dreaming!
At last our luck has changed!
I overheard your remark, senor. In meeting me, you soon will find that your luck indeed has changed.
Oh, gee, senor, you've been wonderful to us.
Oh, no, senor.
Oh, well, we're nothing but a pair of ragged tramps. Yet you served us a wonderful dinner, shown us about this beautiful house, treated us as though we were gentlemen.
It has been great happiness to have you here. No one ever comes to visit me, and I am very lonely.
No one ever comes to visit you?
No one. And as you perhaps have noticed, I have not even servants.
I've been wondering who does the work in this big place of yours.
I am about to speak of that. I saw you talking to one of my countrywomen on the road outside. She may have told you tales of me. Did she tell you tales of me, senor?
Well, the woman told us a lot of superstitious bunk, if that's what you're driving at.
You Americanos are not superstitious, as are the people of my country. You do not believe in the devil whom she told you was my master.
My pal and I haven't much faith in anything right now.
You have been very unfortunate in South America.
I'll say we have.
Yet you, my young friend, say you have in your possession $50.
Well, you asked if we were absolutely penniless, senor, and as you'd been so generous, I thought it only fair to explain my exact situation.
Your principles do you honor. What would you say if in exchange for that $50, I offer you a house as beautiful as this? If I offer you wealth, power, women, anything your heart desires?
I don't understand you.
Yes, sir, you're not trying to get us into believing what that old lady said was true.
No, I am not trying to jest with you, senor. Excuse me, I want to show you something I keep in this closet. This, my young friend, is what you may buy with your $50.
That? For $50?
Well, that's just a glass bottle.
But not an ordinary glass bottle. Here, take it in your hand.
Certainly, if you wish me to.
What? Holy! Hey, how'd you make it to that?
Matt!
Well, the thing leaped right out of my fingers.
And returned to mine because I am its owner.
Let me see you do that trick again.
It was not a trick. But I would show you something more worthy of the powers of this bottle. Is there something you wish for very much, senor? Something you consider impossible to attain?
What are you driving at with all this?
You soon shall see. You, my young friend, tell me what you wish most.
I...
Come, no matter how impossible, tell me what you wish.
I wish to hear the voice of someone at home. The voice of Eva.
Listen. I wish you to hear the voice of Eva.
Matt! God, is that?
Yes!
It's Eva's voice!
I've heard her singing that song 1,000 times. But it can't be Eva. She's in California, thousands of miles away.
Shall I wish her to stand within this room that you may see her?
No, I want you to have nothing more to do with her. Stop that voice I hear. Stop it.
Very well. I wish you to hear the voice no longer.
How did you do that?
Who?
What are you?
I am merely the owner of this bottle. And whoever is its master can have each wish come true. I will sell you this wonderful bottle for only $50.
What are you trying to put over? We ain't kids who believe in fairy tales.
Some fairy tales are truths, senor. Truths that have been forgotten in the centuries of time. Thousands of years ago, this bottle came from hell. An emperor owned it who conquered the world. He sold it to another who became the wealthiest of men. He sold it to another who...
You mean to say if that bottle granted wishes, anyone would dispose of it?
Its owner must dispose of it before death. This bottle will cure sickness, but it will not prolong life. And whoever dies possessing it must burn in hell forever. I am old. You see why I must sell it before it is too late. You must buy from me, senor. You must. My neighbors fear me. They want strangers from my door, as you have seen. I'm afraid to go away and seek a buyer, for I might meet accident upon the road and die while I still own it. You may be my final chance, senor. Give me your $50 for this mastery of life. You are young. You too can sell when you grow old. Senor, I beg.
Is this some new kind of confidence game, Jeff?
No, I swear.
Since you were so anxious to get rid of this wonderful bottle, senor, why must you sell it? And for just the sum you know I have.
It cannot be given away, and it can neither be destroyed or lost. That is its law. It must be sold, and for less than its purchaser paid. So its price has dropped through the ages. You see the danger were I to sell too cheap. Someday a buyer cannot sell. Please buy. I swear it will give all I say.
Oh, we've had enough of this bunk. Let's get out of here, Jeff.
Oh, no, wait. You do not believe. You think I would cheat you with a trick? Look, give me your $50. Take the bottle. Say, I buy. Then wish your money back into your hand. If you do not find it there, I say no more.
Oh, really? I don't
want... Go on, Jeff. See what happens since he puts it that way. I'll see you get your 50 back.
Well, if it's only to see...
Good. Give me your money. Say, I buy.
Here. I buy.
Ha-ha! The bottle is yours!
Doesn't jump away now.
Wish for your money back, kid, as he said.
Yes, I wish for... The money's in my hand.
Toss is quicker than words.
But it's on the left.
Good Lord, I believe it is.
And you bought it. You own it.
And I am free at last to die in peace. Now you will have each wish fulfilled. Now you will bear each curse that follows.
Curse?
Wait and see. You own the wonderful bottle now. You own the wonderful bottle.
Satan, if these folks wants to hear the rest of our little yarn, they got to come see us next time I has a birthday.
Bottle from Witch's Tale.
And it reminded me, Dale,
yeah,
of a show, Mystery Theater, we aired back in May 15th of 1921, an episode called The Imp in the Bottle. And that was their telling of this same tale.
Ah. Ooh. Damn those bottle imps.
So yeah.
Yeah, it gives whole new meaning to bring your own bottle.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Genie offers BYOB.
Just a quick moment here from this amazing book that Gar sent us, Terror on the Air.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say this did end because this was only a 15-minute program. They came back the second week and finished the part. And sometimes as the show was going on, the producer, director, actor in it, Alonzo Dean Cole, was writing more until they got to the point where they had to finish it as they were going live at times. Anyway, the role of old Nancy, according to the book, dominated by two actors during the Witch's Tale 7-year run. A performer from 1931 until her death in 1935 was Adelaide Fritz Allen, a veteran stage actress who may not have been as ancient as the woman she portrayed, but was nonetheless a respectable 75 when she took the role. The story of Adelaide Fritz Allen's replacement has entered old-time radio folklore as a number of tryout Nancys. Neela Mack, and producer-director of the long-running CBS children's series Let's Pretend, brought one of the program's young performers to Cole's attention. Miriam Wolfe, her performance in the audition so impressed Cole that he gave her the role, which she played until The Witch's Tale came to the end in 1938. The remarkable thing about Wolfe is that she was only 13 when she auditioned, a fact that is undetected when listening to her cackle and croak her way through the script. There you go.
Cackling and croaking, my kind of gal.
And the older we get, the more we get like that, yeah.
That's right. I like a gal who says, ribbit, ribbit. All right, that's enough of that, Dale Kay. Let's finish up the wonderful bottle from Witch's Tale.
We bring you The Witch's Tale, written and produced by Alonzo Dean Cole.
The Merry Old Soul.
I feel some cackling coming on soon.
Someday.
Now let us join old Nancy and Satan, her wise black cat.
Hunter and 5 year old I'd be today. Yes, sir, Hunter and 5 year old. And now, if you'll just douse out them lights, Satan and me'll spin you the finish of that little yarn we started last time. We told you how a couple young American fellas down in Argentina met an old Spaniard who sold one of them a magic bottle that grants its owners every wish. That bottle was made by the devil. And anyone who owns it must get rid of it before he dies, or he'll burn in hell's fire forever. The bottle can't be destroyed or lost, but it can be sold for less than the seller paid for it. Now draw up to the fire and gaze into the embers. Gaze into them deep and hear some more about the wonderful bottle. The wonderful bottle.
Can't get over it, Jeff. As impossible as it seems, that darn bottle does everything that old spaniel said it would. Boy, here we sit in the best hotel in Buenos Aires, with swell clothes up on our backs and pockets full of money, and all you've done is wish.
Yes, but I'll be glad to get on that boat tomorrow that's going to take us back to Frisco. See, I'm just crazy to see my folks in Eva.
You can see them here and now, if you wish.
Yes, I know, but I don't want the bottle to have anything to do with them directly, Matt. If there is a curse goes with it, I want it to be just mine.
Oh, forget about that curse business the old guy spoke of. Nothing but good has happened yet, has it? When you wished yourself into all you can think of, you just sell that bottle to me.
And you're going to get it pretty soon. There isn't much more I want now. I have the house I wished for.
That was a darndest thing, you finding that old letter from your folks when you got here saying how they struck oil on their farm and had bought just the very house you'd wished for.
Yes. Everything I wished in a home, they described as parts of the one they'd bought.
No, that ain't really your home, though. It's your parents'.
Well, whatever belongs to one belongs to all with my family.
Yeah, but you wished for a place for just you and the Ziva kid.
Yes, I did. Matt, I'm going to sell you this bottle now if you want it. I'm afraid of it somehow.
What's the matter, kid?
Oh, I don't know. Only I just want to get rid of it.
All right. Well, I got $40 change. Is that all right?
Yes. Take it. Say, I buy.
I buy. Stays in my hands now. Oh, boy, what I'm going to...
Well, there's someone at the door.
I'll see who it is.
One cablegram.
Cablegram for you, Jeff.
Oh, thanks.
What does it say? More good news from your family?
It's from Eva. It says... Father and mother killed last night. I wished a house for you and me.
God, there is a curse goes with this bottle.
Jeff, it's a sight for sore eyes seeing you again.
Well, it's been over a year since you left me in Buenos Aires.
Yes. Come inside the house, Matt.
Thanks. This is a swell place you got here. Where's the little woman? I'm dying to meet her.
Eva and I aren't married yet.
Not married yet?
No, that's the reason I cabled you to come here.
I don't get you.
Matt, have you still got the bottle?
No.
It's gone?
Yeah. Wished myself $1 million and a private yacht. Then sold it to a Portuguese for $30. I was scared to keep it.
You know where it is now. Do you know where I can find the man you sold it to? That's why I sent for you, Matt. I've got to find that bottle.
What for?
I'll show you.
Why are you tearing off your shirt?
So you can see why I haven't married. Why I won't even go near the girl I love. Why, so you can see why I don't leave this house. So you can see another curse of that bottle. Look. Look at my back. Yes. Spot of a leper. A leper. Help me find the bottle, Matt. It's my only hope. My only cure. Place we're going, Matt?
I hope so, kid. Don't lose your nerve.
We've searched so long. 3 years. And everywhere we find it sold again with misery left behind.
Yeah. All the other folks who try to get things easy just like us have found it don't work out.
There's no shortcut to happiness.
Mm. Hang on to me, kid. I ain't so used to going without eyes yet.
Curse had to hit you, too. But if the bottle's where we're going, Matt, it will bring back your sight as well as cure my... Don't hold my hand so tight. Even through these gloves, my scourge may reach.
Oh, forget it. I ain't afraid.
Auntie, you've been great to me. Keeping me with you on your boat. Away from people who'd send me to some island all alone.
You've no reason to send you away. You're more afraid of hurting folks than they are of being hurt. And here in China, there's thousands worse than you.
Yes, I can walk the streets here. My kind are common. Here we are, Matt. This is where the woman lives the Dutchman said he sold the bottle to.
Lead me to the door, kid.
Here. Now, I'll stand back. If she only has it, if she'll only sell it to us.
She'll sell, just as we did. Just as we'll want to sell again.
Doc, make sure she has it. Get it from her, quick. She's that English woman the Dutchman said. You can talk to her, Matt. You buy it, I'll buy it from you. Make her sell it to you. Make her.
Quiet, Jeff. Someone's coming.
What do you want?
Does a Mrs. Duncan live here?
I am Mrs. Duncan.
I've come about a bottle.
You will buy it from me? You will buy it? The cursed bottle?
Yes.
Thank God. I'll bring it to you. Wait.
You see, kid, no one wants it long.
I can go home to Eva soon. To Eva.
You know it's law?
Yes. What is its price?
You'll buy even when I tell you.
Oh, yes.
I paid 6 cents. Now the price is 5.
5 cents.
Don't hesitate, Matt. 5. The price to me will be 4.
Oh, think, Jeff. Sooner can be sold no more.
I don't care. If I burn in hell forever, I've got to have that bottle. 5.
Here. I buy.
Oh, I'm free again. Thank God. It was awfully good of you to come back.
Gosh, Eva, when you or the kids send for me, I'm always Johnny on the spot.
Well, Jeff will always be a kid to you.
I shouldn't wonder. Kind of hard to realize he's getting along same as me. Lord, you and him's been married 10 years now.
Yes, it's 10 years since you brought him back from China. Yours. I want to talk to you about that tonight. That's why I asked you to come while he's away. To ask your help. Matt, Jeff is dying.
What are you talking about? He's as well as I
am. No, he's dying of fear.
Eva, that kid ain't afraid of anything.
He's afraid of death. Death, which would separate him and me forever.
What are you talking about?
I've learned about the bottle.
The bottle?
Yes. Jeff told me about it when he came home from South America. When he sailed with you around the world, I knew it was the bottle for which he sought. And, of course, I knew you found it. You are no longer blind. But it was not till yesterday I learned he still possessed it, that he cannot get rid of it.
He told you?
No, I found it where he thinks it's safely hidden.
Oh, but Eva, how could you know it was the bottle?
There can only be one that leaps from every hand except its owner's. Someone must buy that thing from Jeff. What did he pay for it?
You know it's law?
Yes.
He paid 4 cents to me.
Then he must sell for 3.
And the next buyer pays for 2.
And after that, one can buy but cannot sell.
Yes.
Matt, I want you to buy and sell to me.
No.
You must. To save Jeff's life, his reason.
You think he'd accept a sacrifice from you?
But he mustn't know.
I won't do it.
Oh, Matt, please. You're all I have to go to. Listen to me. It won't be a sacrifice. I'll sell the bottle.
You can't.
Wait. The opportunities aren't as few as you think. Here, a cent is the lowest coin, but in other countries, there are smaller. I'll find another buyer, Matt. I have one now. Yes, Matt, honestly, I have a buyer now.
They just say
that. Oh, no, I swear. I'll swear by anything you say. Only get that bottle from Jeff. Oh, Matt, I love him. You've got to save him. Say you'll get it from him. Please.
All right. I don't know much about women. I hope you ain't lying to me.
Jeff, darling, you mustn't blame Matt. I made him do it by lies, deceit.
Oh, I don't blame Matt, dear. I should have known when I let him take the bottle from my hand. But he said he needed it, and only its owner can profit by its powers. He swore he had a buyer who would save him from its curse. I might have suspected his buyer could be no one but you.
I never thought you'd find it out.
You forget that whenever the bottle grants a favor, it exacts a punishment as well. This time its curse was knowledge. Knowledge that you had become its possessor. Perhaps the last, who will pay its final price. Oh, Eva, did you think it would be easier for me to know in life and after death that you suffered torment in my place? Did you think our separation would be easier than if it were I who paid alone?
But there may be no hell of torment. If there is a power of evil, no just God would let it punish so.
The power of evil was the creator of that bottle, which can neither be destroyed nor lost. And there is justice in punishment. For always the bottle has been bought for selfish ends, by someone who wished to find an easy way. That's how it came to me, how I employed it. Even you were selfish in buying it for love. I am selfish now again as I thrust this penny in your hand and say I buy.
Yes, take it
no,
back.
No, the bottle is mine again and you are free.
I did not consent. It can't be bought that way.
But it can. It stays within my hand.
That's because you are my husband. We are one. You can have no possession I do not share. No punishment that is not mine as well. See, I too can hold the flower.
No.
I am its owner as well as you.
Eva.
What do we care? Earth, heaven, or hell, we'll be together. One forever.
Yes, I love you. What does it matter? Who's there?
You have a bottle. I have come to buy.
A buyer, Jeff. I'll let him in.
It comes too late. I am the last purchaser. I paid a single cent.
I have brought smaller currency than that. Give me the bottle. I buy.
What have you given me?
A grain of sand.
Who are you? I can't see you well.
Nor I. You seem only a voice in a cloud of mist.
Who are you?
One stronger than evil and selfishness. One with the strength of love.
Yes, come.
The last purchase.
And that's why you don't see no more wishing bottles round these days. Too bad. They was handy in a pinch, long as you weren't the last to buy.
The show that never ends. It goes on and on, my friends. It's the outro from Hades. Anyway, that was a wonderful bottle from Witch's Tale.
Yep.
Yep. Wow. I never realized sand was so valuable. Think of all that sand I've been vacuuming up. My goodness.
Yeah, you think of all those bottles you could have bought. Yeah.
Well, we've bought a few bottles in our day, haven't we, Dave?
We have, yeah. Different kind of bottle.
Yes. Beer bottles. Yeah. Beer used to come in bottles, you know. Anyway, that was one thing to learn. Here's another. Ahem. Ahem. Erie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story written by Gar as presented by CW.
Just when you think you know the price of things, inflation hits.
Yes, sir. It hits you right like Tarzan's armpit.
Yep. Wish inflation is not a good thing. Not a good thing.
Use Tarzan's armpit.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
As Dave mentioned earlier, we'll be back tomorrow with more wishing. More wishing with a story from CBS Radio Mystery Theater enticingly titled Three Times Dead. That'll be something for tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern.
Hey, Foggs had two great wishes. One was that he could speak every language, be fluent in all languages. And the second one was the end to daylight savings time. Yes.
Now, there could be consequences for that wish.
No, there isn't. Yeah. Less heart attacks in the nation from people times a year after all the stress of time change happens. Yep.
I don't know why it's stressful to people. It's no big deal.
Well,
because you're changing your body. You're resetting your body clock. That's why.
It's true. Plus the fact of all the foul language you hear when people are driving down the highway and are saying, "Oh, this stupid clock, why do I have to change it? It won't change automatically."
Oh, yes.
So that's the PG-rated version of
yes,
that.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, though, I don't know. If you look at it this way, time doesn't change. Only the clocks did. So, therefore, just get up an hour early part of the year, and the other part of the year you'll be on normal time. And then it won't be a shock to your system.
Yeah, I think it's still a shock to your system. It's come and gone.
I refuse to let it affect me negatively.
That's because you get up at 2 in the morning. What the heck?
That's right. Sometimes it's that early. Even the dog,
so
he's so lazy. He's like, "What are you doing up?" The dog lets me out.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. You're up with the owls?
More like opossums and raccoons from time to time.
Oh, that's right. Possum, raccoons, and skunks, the nocturnal creatures of the night.
Yeah. Now that I have a fence, it keeps the deer out of there. Thankfully. Anyway.
I don't know. If you've got something really tasty, they'll jump that fence.
I hope not. We'll see you folks tomorrow night, 6:30 Eastern, right here. Or just go in the archives and listen to more and more and more.
And more and more and more.
Yep, and more. Go ahead. Now, there are some good shows to go back and listen to. We all do occasionally here on Erie. Here at Erie.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yep.
It's a good idea.
Welcome listening entertainment in the archive. Feel free to binge listen.
Binge listen.
Absolutely.
I like the sound of that.
Binge listen, yeah.
And then hopefully tomorrow, Garl will have probably not his live show, but another vault show of Horrible Horror starring Garl the Ghoul. That's at 8 o'clock after our show, which starts at 6:30. Bye.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's
pay the
no
bill.
One left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Hey, let me get my shovel. Okay, I'm going to get down.
Nope, I'm going to get a bulldozer.
There it is. Oh, always,
ouch.
Dave always has to get his shovel when I'm talking.
that and hip boots are helpful. Yes.
That's why you have such a wonderful garden. Oh, that explains
there
it.
There you go.
It does.
I just go outside.
Just left
and
loose speak. In the backyard. There you go. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Gar was mentioning that in the X-Files, Mulder meets a genie. I remember that episode. Mulder meets a genie. In one of the episodes of the X-Files.
Not that genie. Not that kind of
genie. Not that genie.
Oh, man. Genie.
Sorry. Wrong genie.
I had fun playing that Tom's Diner the other day.
Yeah, that was.
That was fun.
Yep. And, Dale, I did add, as you may see, if you refresh anyway, I added a Tom Lear song to the wheel. Because all of Tom Lear's stuff that was done in movies or television was only granted permission by him for the use for that, which he has now released to everyone. So the stuff on the record label still belongs to record labels, but anything that was done onto television belonged to him, and he released it in the public domain. So I'll be sliding some Tom Lear stuff in there from time to time.
Wow, what a guy.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. He had some very clever stuff. Oh, this one's just right for us. Shall I play it now for folks in the archives?
Let's do it. That'll be a teaser of what's to come.
There you go. Here we go with a little Tom Lehrer when you're old and gray.
Since I still appreciate you, let's find love while we may. Because I know I'll hate you when you are old and gray. So say you love me here and now, I'll make the most of that. Say you love and trust me, for I know you'll disgust me when you're old and getting fat. An awful debility, a lessened utility, a loss of mobility is a strong possibility. In all probability, I'll lose my virility, and you your fertility and desirability. And this liability of total sterility will lead to hostility and a sense of futility. So let's act with agility while we still have facility, for we'll soon reach senility and lose the ability. Your teeth will start to go, dear. Your waist will start to spread. In 20 years or so, dear, I'll wish that you were dead. I'll never love you then at all the way I do today. So please remember, when I leave in December, I told you so in May.
Ta-da! Ta-da!
Yep.
Nice. I wonder if someone could write a song and in rebuttal to that, where the lady says, oh, well, when you wrote that song, there wasn't lipo, there wasn't collagen injections, there wasn't hairstyling or minoxidil or something to that effect.
Nope, there was just mononucleosis. But anyway. I don't know what the hell that means even.
Always makes me think of that Alan Sherman mononucleosis song. Yep.
Oh, he had a mononucleosis song? Oh,
he did.
Yeah.
It's not public domain, but he had a mononucleosis song.
Yeah.
It was kind of a rock and roll ditty. Started off mononucleosis is a kissing disease. You know, and he went on from there. Nice little rock and roll ditty.
The good old days when that's all you had to worry about catching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little upset. I was kind of hungry earlier, So I put a potato in the microwave, and I pushed the pizza button. But when it was done, it was still a potato. Very upset.
What's that?
Very upset. I'm getting the microwave.
What
fixed.
Is with that? That's false terrible. Advertising.
You need to return that microwave.
Yep.
Get the one that works. Yeah.
Wonder what they'll say when I tell them this story. Well, the people that are here now, maybe it'll be like, sure. Sure, man. Too funny.
Fun shows tonight. Fun shows tonight.
Very good. Very good show. Sorry I was AOL or AWOL.
No, that's okay.
AOL. C-W-O-L. That was your problem.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. AOL. Okay.
I still use it.
AOL or Gmail or Juno or Netscape. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm one of those geezers still using AOL. I probably still have a MySpace page somewhere.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I don't know. Does it even function anymore?
It's still
somehow
there.
MySpace still does still function there, yeah. out there. I don't know how or why, but it's still there.
My fondest memory of MySpace is I got to speak to Danny Trejo for a short time, the actor.
Oh, Machete?
Yeah. Yep,
cool.
Yep. I like him. I like the characters he plays, and he's just got a very unique look, a very unique face, you know?
He does. Oh, he was so much fun when he was on What We Do in the Shadows. He did that episode with What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Have
you seen that?
He was
show
even
the
bartender
the...
in Anchorman. Yep. Legend of Ron Burgundy. I don't like Will Ferrell much, but that was a fun movie.
Mm. You know, I didn't care for Will Ferrell that much on Saturday Night Live. When he first came out and started doing movies, I wasn't crazy about any of his movies. But as he's grown as an actor, I've gotten to like his stuff. So, you know, something I've grown into. So.
Yep.
I'm probably going to get... gasp of astonishment, but the perennial Christmas movie I still like to think of is Scrooge and the one with Darren McGavin as the father, Ralph.
Christmas Story. Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Not a Christmas Story. Not so much Elf.
Filmed right here in Cleveland.
The best thing about Elf was Bob Newhart had a pretty nice role in that film. And that was the best thing about Elf.
Yeah, there's that. So props to Bob Newhart, most assuredly.
And it, gosh, bless
but
him.
With that said, I must be away, so I will dedicate myself to my final task of the evening. With your kind permission, I shall knock on the door of the one
knock on that
the
door.
Only.
No, you have to stay another hour. No.
Oh, God. Oh, dear, did I?
We're all doing overtime. Anyone punches out early, there's five demerits.
Oh, dear. Well, that's fine. Oh, no, I'm on 1% on the phone. Oh, dear. Mr. Durante, hurry. The phone's just about ready to go.
Good night.
It's time to say good night.
Wait for the stinger.
Good night.
Oh,
what more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same. And
night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Arrivederci. Hasta la vista. Adios.
Adios, muchachos. Come on,
you get out of here.